Welcome to Real Money with Lisa Chastain. Over the next hour, you will hear from leading industry experts how to establish financial confidence and freedom. Her guests will motivate and inspire you to make those financial decisions that you have been thinking about for weeks and maybe even years. Now, here's your host, Lisa Chastain.
Hey, everyone. I'm so grateful you're here. No matter how you're listening, we have a great number of live listeners. So hello to you. We also have lots of you who listen via podcast format, and hello to you. I have a really great show lined up for you today. I have someone that I respect profoundly, and we've done a lot of great work together in a lot of different ways. And I believe that, like I say, for everybody on the show, I handpick guests based on what I believe you as a listener need to hear, want to hear. Ultimately, we want you to know that you're not alone. And what you're going to learn from Jen Loa today, Jen Butler. If I drop Jen Loa, that's because she just got married in January and she just changed her name to Jen Butler. So don't be confused. It is officially now Jen Butler on Facebook and all the places. But Jen today is a really amazing woman, strong woman. Not your only identity is not being strong. We're going to talk about where that came from. And we met each other, gosh, 5 years ago?
Almost seven.
7 years ago?
Almost 7 years.
Where does time go? You were like, Lisa, you never know. It's been a long time.
This month, seven.
7 years ago this month. And I was Jen's coach. And she has really long, curly hair in this moment. When I first met her, she had like silver, short, punk kind of hair. Walked into the room, badass, like I'm in charge. And that's where our story began. So Jen, do you want to say hi, introduce yourself to the group?
Hi, everyone. My name is Jen Butler, and I am, I'm 34 years old. I've known Lisa, like we said, for 7 years. Can't believe it's been that long. And I have been blessed to know this woman through these last 7 years, and she's taught me so much and learned so much from each other. So
definitely.
Thanks everyone for being here and listening. And thank you for inviting me, Lisa. I'm so excited today.
I'm excited. Jen, in one of the classes that we took together, I found out that she has a beautiful singing voice. So if that comes out today, don't be surprised. And let's rock and roll. So there's so much that we can talk about today. And like I was talking to you about the preface of the show and what the real journey of the show is, that this is a gift back to your family also, that someday they can listen to the show and hear from your perspective, your life. I know you're close to your sister and your mom and your loved ones. And Justin, even though he hears you talk all the time, will hear this part of the show and your story and go, wow, I'm always wowed by you. But let's start there. Let's start at the beginning. Where were you born?
So I was born in a little town called Linwood, California, and it's a suburb of Los Angeles. We grew up we were in Compton for a long time. Actually, a lot of our family lived there. You know, when they immigrated from Mexico, a lot of my family landed there. We lived mainly around my dad's family when we first were growing up. And eventually, my parents were able to move us to, you know, Southgate, which was like the nice part of the hood, which it really was, you know, it really was. It still was really close to like all these places like South LA and Compton and Watts. And like, you know, it was full of a lot of culture and also just full of a lot of crime and like drugs and whatnot. So definitely was exposed to that at a pretty young age. Even though my parents, especially my mom, was always very, very committed to making sure that we didn't see that side of the world. So, you know, grew up in Southgate, which was a really cute town, actually. I didn't really appreciate it when I was young. You know, I just always saw what we didn't have, you know, didn't really get to see all the beauty that was there, all the culture that was there. However, growing up, it really was just very tiny town, not a lot to do, not a lot to see. I remember when they first opened like a really fancy cinema across the highway. It was just like, ooh, We got something nice now, but we have to cross the highway to get there. So, you know, it was a really interesting town to grow up in, you know?
Mm-hmm. And you have a Remind me, younger sister?
I have an older sister, actually. Yeah, she's a year and a half older than me. Although it's really funny. Everybody always thinks she's younger than me. Everybody. It's just, I don't know if that's the vibe we give off. We grew up and when we were younger, we really did not like each other a whole lot.
It's not uncommon as sisters. Yeah.
There was a lot of fighting, a lot of jealousy, a lot of just turmoil in the between us. And although we had some times that we would spend together and, when we were little, you look at all the pictures and we are all smiling and whatnot. However, behind the scenes, that was probably not the case. Mm-hmm. However, now that we've grown up, I think once we grew into each other, we were able to appreciate each other for who we really were and who we really are and share that with each other. So, to everyone out there who, hated their siblings when they were growing up, I really thought for a while there she was trying to get rid of me. And I've told her this, she knows. And she's just like, I kind of was a little. And so we were able to work through that, and now we have a wonderful relationship and we really do appreciate each other for everything that we taught each other growing up and everything that we've learned. And I just get to love her for her now. And she's just great. She's funny and quirky and just weird. And I love that about her so much. She keeps me on my toes.
Love you, sis.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So passionate. I love it.
I love it. What was in talking about money, you and I have had a lot of money conversations. So it wasn't 7 years ago, but I think it was three years ago, you had hired me to say, hey, I'm with Justin now. We have totally different money conversations. We need to figure it out. And not even that was really the start of you and me having specific money conversations, but let's talk about as from childhood, where that all amounted to. You were approaching 30 and you knew you had some work to do, but knowing what you know now, looking back at your journey, what were your beliefs that were formed from childhood?
Well, actually recently just did like a small money workshop and I realized that my first memory of money was, well, one, that we didn't have it. That was very much apparent. That was what we were told from when we were little. It was like, can't have that, can't have what we want, need to save, need to, this is what we need, but we can't have what we want. And also that there was never enough. Like we always had enough of like food. We had a roof over our head. Yes. However, it was like money was always the one thing that was missing and it caused a lot of pain growing up. The other memory that I remember that I have from growing up was that money equaled like power or authority. And so whoever had the money had the power and the authority. Mm-hmm. And so with my family, my dad, he was always just a very passionate individual. However, he squandered money very quickly. He wanted the get rich quick scheme, right? How can we make money really fast without doing the work? And unfortunately my dad, was a criminal and became a criminal and, tried to do shortcuts and he ended up in jail. And so very quickly at a very young age, felt the abandonment and the loss of like an important family member, my dad, by him getting removed. Ugh, man, I always think I was like 4 or 5. I was pretty young, but I think I was probably closer to like 6. And so that was really hard because he was the bread maker at that point. And so when he got removed and he went to jail, it was really kind of scary there for a little bit. And although I don't remember all the details because we were so young, I have all these memories of, being at family's houses and staying and, with them and my mom always being stressed out. And again, she did such a good job of always providing us with what we needed. However, the scarcity and the fear was very much there. And so being the amazing woman that she is, she figured it out. Mm. She got a job and working really hard.
Was she a stay-at-home mom at the time?
No, she was working, but it wasn't like a career. She was still working on getting her her education and becoming an accountant. And so then shortly after that, that's when she started doing that. However, I think she was only a stay-at-home mom with us when we were very, very little. I always remember my mom
working and going to work and taking care of finances in some way. And I think when that happened, she decided that she needed to take over. I think that was just like the moment where she was just like, well, if we're going to be okay, I need to make sure that we're okay.
When he went to jail.
When he went to jail, which makes perfect sense. And so, you know, she ended up finding a job. We ended up finding this little tiny back house that it's so funny. I remember that house. It was this little itty bitty house, had a tiny little living room and a little kitchen and a little room where we had two twin beds. And cause that's all that fit in there. And so, you know, me and my mom would sleep in one bed. My sister would sleep in the other bed, you know, or we would trade off. And it was this, I called it a shack. No, it was in Southgate.
Okay.
We called it a shack because it was literally just this itty bitty house. And, you know, when my dad finally came back home after a few years, we all lived there together and we all lived on top of each other. And I just remember feeling relief in some way because he was home. But again, we had so little then. And so it was just really scary. Mm-hmm. And somehow through will and work, they figured it out. And my dad got a job and my mom was working and we bought a really cute house, you know, and I remember
that was in Linwood.
That was in Southgate still.
Okay.
Yeah. And they figured it out through just will and hard work. And I don't really remember, I don't remember there was a few years there where we didn't really struggle. I wouldn't say we struggled. We had enough to do what we needed to do. But what happened was that's where all the pain came in, where my parents were constantly fighting over money. Mm. And that's like,
and
that
how
was.
How young were you at that time? Do you think like 10, 11?
Yeah. It was like between the age of like 8 and like 12, 13. It was constant fighting, you know, about what we're spending money on, what not we're spending money on, where we're going, what we're doing, going to the grocery store on only the days that had sales, right? We would go, I remember so vividly, we'd go to like buy produce on a Tuesday and then go buy all the protein on a Wednesday because that's when it was on sale.
Yeah.
And like my mom was just like the coupon queen. She knew exactly where to get all the sales and everything. And I think for my dad being such a creative individual that he was, it was really hard for him to be so controlled. Mm-hmm. And also being that, you know, I was Latina, my dad's born Mexican, you know, he definitely felt like he wasn't in control of the finances. And so he did everything that he could. My mom was working.
Was he working?
He was also working. However, it almost seemed like she had the decision power, even though he was making the money.
Yeah.
Because he kind of lost that power when
he went away.
He went away. And also because, you know, when that happened, we lost everything. So I think my mom was terrified of losing everything again.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
That makes perfect sense. So for you on that journey, seeing your dad come home, experiencing your parents fighting, you're a preteen walking into middle school, you're having your own awakenings in life. How did that manifest for you? How did experiencing what you experienced from a younger age, how did that start manifesting for you?
Well, I knew very young that in order for me to have a voice in the household and to be able to make my own decisions, I needed to start making money. Mm. And so I started working at like 12 or 13. You know, I talked to my mom and I was just like, you know, I want to be able to make money. I want to be able to pay for the things that I want. And so she asked one of her friends who had like this little farm out in, I don't even remember where it was, but it was in the city. They had like a pony rides. And so I started working there on the weekends because I just knew that in order for me to do what I wanted to do, have what I wanted to have, I needed to make my own money. And that was very apparent in my family. If you wanted any say in the family, you needed to make money. Mm. And so, you know, I very quickly learned that and started kind of manipulating the situation at home. Because when I started making money, it was just like, well, you know, well, how much do you want me to pay you for being able to do what I want? You know, very quickly.
Wow.
And although my mom was very like, oh no, that's not going to fly. You know, my dad, you know, saw that and was just like, well, if you're working hard, then you should have say in what you want to do.
What did that look like? We're starting to put together patterns and thoughts, mm-hmm. and how this comes to, you know, how this manifests and creates your reality in your 20s and 30s. So you had money, you wanted to say, what did that look like specifically?
Well, mainly like
what's
with
an example of
like
that?
Mainly with my dad was just like, you know, like I wanted to get a cell phone because I was working and it was just like, oh, you're too young to have a cell phone. I was like, well, no, but I'll pay for it. So you just get it for me Fair and enough. I'll pay for it. And he was just like, it didn't matter if it was appropriate. It didn't matter, you know, mm-hmm. what I was going to be doing with it. I was just like, well, if you're paying for it, then fine. That's fine. He saw how committed I was to work. And so he ended up getting me a car at like a really young age because he respected that a lot. But at the same time, it's like, it was kind of like, well, we don't have to worry about her anymore. Like she's figuring it out. She has the money. And that created actually a big disconnect between me and my sister because my sister was more committed to her education, to school. And so they would help her out. They would give her money. She had an allowance and everything. However, because I was more committed to making money, I didn't get that.
Yeah.
You know, I didn't get all those things. And if anything, I rejected it because at that point I realized, well, in order for me to do what I want, I need to figure it out. And if they're the ones helping me, then they're going to control me.
Yep.
And I was not okay with that. Yep. I was like, no, I want to do it my way. This is what I want. And,
ladies and gentlemen, meet Jen Loa.
My way.
And, who can relate? Who can relate?
Yeah. And actually, during that time, I was really into music. And so when I was in school, that was where I put all my energy. And very quickly, me and my friends in that time, we started a mariachi and we started working on the weekends.
This is my favorite. I love this so much about you. Continue.
Yeah. And so, you know, I let go. My first career as a pony rides, technician. And I started working as a mariachi with my best friends. And it was so much fun. And we started making really good money really fast. I mean, I think I was getting paid $30 an hour at the age of like 13. 14,
$30 an hour. Mm-hmm. That's big money at 13 and 14 years old.
Yeah. It was a little much.
20 years ago.
Yeah. It was actually a little much. It was, too much.
You had a lot of cash.
Yeah. It was all cash. Mm. Yeah. All cash.
Did you keep it in a shoebox?
I didn't keep it long enough to keep it anywhere. Mm. Let's put it that way.
Okay. Yeah. So take us on that journey. So you're a mariachi. You have a band, you're popular at the restaurants and
yep.
the quinceañeras, like how you were being hired.
Oh yeah. We very quickly started, we're very young. So at first it was like family and friends, right? They hire us. And then when we started seeing like, oh, we could really do this. And we actually got very committed to it. We practiced like 4 or 5 days a week, sometimes more, worked Friday, Saturday, Sunday. We're very, very committed. We entered competitions and we were actually very, very talented. We had a very amazing group of talented individuals. And so when we started getting older and some of the people in the group reached the age of 18, they took over the group where the parents were taking over the group then. And then so they took over the group. So we had more power and control over what we were doing with it. So then we started charging more money because we were, you know, talented and we would work quinceañeras, parties. Oh my God. Mother's Day. I mean, we were like teenagers and we were each like pocketing like $600 to $700, $800 a day because it was all cash.
And what were you doing with it?
Spending it.
On what?
Well, for me, I spent it on gas because I drove everybody everywhere because I was one of the only people with a car.
What kind of car did you have?
I had an Astro van.
Yeah.
And a minivan. I loved that car so much. It was awesome.
Yeah.
And, spend it on gas, spend it on food. Mm-hmm. Jack in the Box took a lot of our money, mm-hmm. spent it on clothes. Mainly what I didn't realize what I was doing then, but I realize now I spent it on other people. Mm-hmm. If other people, you know, didn't have money for food or didn't have money for something, or if we wanted to go out and do something, it was very much, don't worry about it. I got you. Like I'll pay for it. And I didn't realize how much money I was spending by doing that.
Yeah. And that's a great place to take a step back and think about what you knew about money, what you learned about money. Did anyone ever sit you down? You experienced your mom working and managing and controlling things, and you started making a lot of money and taking care of other people. And usually what happens with money is that it's modeled to us. Mm-hmm. Where did that belief or that value come from? Do you know, you wouldn't know at the time, nope. But I know you've done a lot of personal development work to put this thread together. Mm-hmm. So for you, where did that come from?
Well, I definitely took it from both my mom and my dad. You know, both my parents are extremely hardworking, and I knew that to make money, one, it was going to be hard. It had to be hard. You know, money didn't come easy. You had to work really hard for it. And so that was the model that I got from both of them, is like, in order to make a living, you have to work really hard, and it has to be hard. Otherwise it's not worth it. And on top of that, though, it's like, from my mom's side, the fact that she was so frugal, and I felt trapped, it made it that I didn't want to be like her. You know, I felt like she was controlling the family with money. Mm-hmm. You know, she had the money, she had the control. So she got to decide what we were going to do or what we didn't do. And so with that model, I was like, well, now that I'm making my own money, I'm going to do whatever I want with it. I'm not going to be my mom. I'm not just going to save all of it and not spend it. And I think I got that kind of from my dad, because I saw how much my mom, you know, controlled the family. And now I say it as control. However, it was very much like she was taking care of us.
It was her responsibility.
She did what she had to do. And, you know, when people take a stand for what they know is right, most of the time people don't like that. Mm-hmm. And me and my mom had a very, very just horrible relationship because of that for a really long time. And I didn't really realize how much it was being controlled by finance.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. And I think that's a very common experience for a lot of people. And that was definitely my experience of my father, that because for teenagers too, you're a very independent, strong-minded human, mm-hmm. regardless of what age you were. And then the parents realize that these kids are growing up, and how do we maintain control and position and authority over them? And that was my experience growing up. And I don't even think they meant to.
Oh no.
I think it was something that was, we were talking about generational trauma and releasing those things, which we'll talk about in the second half of the show. And that's how they learned. And that's how their parents learned. And that's how it happens. And then all of a sudden you're in this contentious power struggle. Mm-hmm. And it's like one way that you can control that person to keep them close to you,
yep.
which is, it's scarcity, it's fear, mm-hmm. it's mindset. And you getting closer to your 20s, how did that manifest itself? How did it, I don't know, what happened with you and your relationship with your parents and your relationship with money as you got older?
Well, so my parents ended up divorcing when I was 15, 16. Shortly after my grandmother died, which I think that's when just everything just kind of really went to hell in the family, especially with my dad's side of the family. You know,
was it your grandmother on your dad's side?
My grandmother, my dad's side. You know, she was definitely the matriarch of the family. And there was just, Latino families, man, like we hold grudges forever. And so there was just a lot of stuff that happened in those last few years with my grandma and the family. And my dad was just, at that point, he had suffered two injuries. The second injury left him without being disabled, without being able to go back to work. And so he fell into a depression, especially not being able to work and provide for the family, you know, really, really spiraled him into a horrible depression. And then losing his mother. And then my mother finally having the strength to separate from my dad, you know, for me, that was devastating at the time. I can see now why. However, back then it was just, I blamed it all on my mother. You know, it was her fault. The money was more important to her than anything else. And so she broke the family up, you know, and so I immediately after that started looking for somewhere to go. I didn't want to be around her anymore. I didn't want to be part of the family anymore. I wanted to do my own thing. And at 17, I found some random apartment in Long Beach that would take cash, rent an apartment to a 17-year-old still doing mariachi, making a good amount of money. Like I definitely, at that point, I realized I could take care of myself. And so I found an apartment, started, moved out. You know, I was 17 years old, like didn't ask, didn't say anything, packed up my little car and left. And that was it.
Wow.
And so,
see, these are things that when you, I'm looking at Ashley across the way, but thinking about you, we've got a couple minutes till break. These are the stories that when you see someone in their 20s and 30s, these are the stories that we don't hear. We make assumptions. Maybe we don't even ask, and you are just who you are. But all of these pieces coming together are an accumulation of what has created you today. And so thank you for spending the time to paint that picture for us and for the listener. I didn't want to interrupt your thought, but also it's a good place to transition that you are who you are. And it makes total sense. 17 years old, I'm out. And we're going to talk about what happened after that. That's a big transition. That's a big moment in your life that you left home at 17.
Yep.
Now from education, you were working, mm-hmm. Were you still going to school?
No, I had checked myself out of high school and started an independent studies program, mm-hmm. because I wanted to commit all my time to music. And so I very quickly knew that that's what I wanted to do. And this is from a very young age. It's like, I knew what I needed to do to get what I wanted. And so I just took the steps necessary and never asked for permission, mm-hmm. to do that.
Mm-hmm. Do you regret any of that at this point in your life? I think, no, I don't like the word regret.
I don't. I think for a long time I did. I thought for a long time I had this, definitely developed a complex over it, because even though I did that, I did not end up getting a GED because it just didn't seem important anymore. And so I did have a complex of inferiority because of that. However, I mean, everything that I did made me who I am today, mm-hmm. and I have so much today, and I wouldn't change it for the world. So,
yeah. No. Yeah. She wouldn't change it for the world. We wouldn't change you for the world. All right. We are going to pick up here in just a couple of minutes after the break and talk about what life was like after 17. And there's a whole lot more to Jen Butler's life and life story. And in the show promo, we talked about how you just retired from your first career, official career. And I want the listeners to find out how you did that, what your career was. And join us back here in just a couple of minutes. I'm Lisa Chastain, your host of Real Money. Our guest is Jennifer Butler, and she's going to share with you all the good stuff of what happened after leaving home at the age of 17.
Become our friend on Facebook. Post your thoughts about our shows and network on our timeline. Visit facebook.com/Voice America.
Not enough women are talking about money, and I am on a mission to change that. The truth is, so many women feel shame and guilt about the choices they are making financially. And if this is you, I want you to hear today that you are not alone. We are so capable of feeling confident about the choices we are making with our money. The problem is that for so many women, money isn't relatable. Industry experts are talking over your head, and this show is the perfect place for you to improve your confidence and relationship with money. With Real Money, I share real stories of women who are tackling their most difficult financial challenges. We are here to help you hear and understand that you are not alone in feeling lost or confused about your finances, so that you can build your confidence to learn how to make the right choices today. With Real Money, you're going to learn from other women how they tackle their biggest money challenges, so that you can get out there and start creating the stability, freedom, clarity, and fun you've always wanted. Join me, Lisa Chastain, each week as we talk about real money with real women for real life.
Voice America programs are now available on your favorite connected device, including Amazon, Alexa, and Google Home. Through streams with Apple Podcasts, TuneIn, and iHeartRadio, listening to your favorite show is as easy as saying the show name followed by the word podcast.
Hey, Alexa, play Finding Your Frequency podcast.
If that doesn't work, try adding on TuneIn or on iHeartRadio or on Apple Podcasts.
You
You are listening to Real Money with Lisa Chastain on the Voice America Business Channel. If you have a question for Lisa or her guests, you can call into the show at 866-472-5789. That's 866-472-5789. You can also send an email to Lisa at lisachastain.com. Now, let's get back to the show. Here is Lisa Chastain.
Hey. Hey, girl. My husband says that to our neighbor. We have like a couple of girls in our neighborhood, mostly boys, but a couple of girls. Every time they come out, he's like, hey, girl. And they're like, hey, girl. Back to him. Hey, girl. We had a couple of minutes. And every break, there's reflection. And the one aha or thought that you had during the break was, wow, that's a lot. As you're putting the pieces of your life back together and looking and reflecting on that. And normally that's kind of an internal thing that we do as we walk that journey on our own. Mm-hmm. And to talk it out and start to put together how you became the woman that you are today is really, really cool. So thank you for sharing that with us. And we're picking up at the age of 17. You got an apartment by yourself, mm-hmm. paying cash, mm-hmm. playing mariachi, violin. Mm-hmm. Ashley asked you violin. And I know you got married young too, yep. which we're going to talk about. Let's start talking about the young adult that you became. So you're living on your own. Did you separate from your family? Did you stop communicating with them? What did that look like?
I limited communication a lot. Definitely. My dad kind of went off and did his own thing. Cause you know, he just was dealing with what he was dealing with, you know, loss of his mother, his injuries, loss of his family. You know, so really he was not part of the picture at all, really. Me and my sister were definitely butting heads. So we didn't talk for years at
that point. Did she stay home with your mom?
She stayed home with my mom, yeah. Which again, at that point, I also felt like, you know, she was always the one getting taken care of and I had to take care of myself, you know?
Yep, that's the story.
That's
the story.
Mm-hmm. It was not true at all. I left. However, at that time, that's what I felt like I had to do to have the independence that I needed and wanted to create the life that I wanted at that time. And with my mom, she tried very hard to always reach out to me, to come see me, to come talk to me. She would come show up at work, you know, where I was working at a restaurant. And, you know, from everything that happened growing up and just all the stories that I made up about her, I really tried to push her away as much as possible. Yeah. And it wasn't until probably the age of 20, 24, 25, that I actually did ask her to stop communicating with me. I asked her to, leave me alone. Basically I asked her, and it's because I realized, at that time, I just felt like I couldn't figure out how to have a relationship with her. I know she loved me. I never doubted that at all. However, the way that she loved me was toxic. You know, she's very judgmental. Everything that I did was wrong. The way that I was living my life, which I see now because it was the complete opposite way of the way she was living her life. She rejected it. And so I felt rejected by her. And anytime we would talk, it was just painful. Mm-hmm. So I asked her, I remember so vividly telling her, you know, I need to figure out how I can have a relationship with you. It's not that I don't want to, it's like, I want to have a relationship with you, but what we have now is too painful. And in order for me to figure it out, I need you to stop looking for me. I need you to stop talking to me because otherwise I'm never going to want to be around you ever again. Mm-hmm. And it took a lot of strength on her part, but she was able to fulfill my wishes. And now we have a fantastic relationship.
You do, as a result of a lot of work.
A lot of work.
And so one of the things that it might be for you, it's not a huge part of what I wanted to share today, but you were doing hair. Mm-hmm. You just retired from doing hair. Mm-hmm. You've been doing my hair for years.
Yeah.
Wah, wah, wah. I got the news a couple months ago, you said you were retiring and I was simultaneously very sad, but so happy for you. Mm-hmm. When did you start doing hair?
So, let's see, I was doing mariachi for a few years after that, got very successful. Life was amazing. I was creating the life that I thought I wanted at that time.
How much money were you making?
Oh shit. I was making probably like $1,500 a week cash.
So 3, 6. Okay. So 70, 80 grand a year.
Yep.
Cash.
Okay. Cash at the age of 19,
yeah.
20. Don't ask me where that money went. I have no idea. I did save some of it, which thank goodness I did, because then in 2009, 2010, the economy crashed. The restaurants that I was working at closed. I went from working 6 days a week to working 1 day a week, mm-hmm. every 2 weeks. And it was terrifying. It was absolutely terrifying. And at that time is when I had just met my ex-husband. And so he was definitely like a safety net for me, you know? So I ended up moving in with him because I couldn't afford to live on my own anymore. Had some money saved up from, you know, mariachi and everything. And it was terrifying. Like, I remember very vividly feeling like I had nothing, that I had worked so hard to have nothing, and it was all being taken away. And now I had to rely on a man to help me, you know, which, you know, just my story, relying on my parents was not what I wanted. And so definitely relying on this person was very difficult for me.
And you were like, what, 20,
20 years old. And when that happened, and then we ended up getting married. I won't get into it. Just deportation case, ended up having to get married to keep him in the country.
Okay. Yeah. You don't have to get into it. And
that's all I'll say.
What I will say, thank you for sharing that, is that my whole purpose on the show is for people to hear that they're not alone. And there is someone that is listening to this is in the same situation. I have no doubt, because that's how the universe works.
Yep.
So he was
going to get deported, just because he got arrested, you know, and, surprise, surprise, I attracted a criminal to my life.
Right. Because that's what we do.
Yep.
That's what was modeled to us. So mm-hmm. Jen's going to talk about the work that she's doing now, which is what really prompted the career change.
Yep.
And it is all of that programming that happens mm-hmm. when we're young, that before the age of 7, our life is programmed, and the script is written before we even realize it. And subconsciously, we do end up attracting people who are like our parents because it's safe. Our brain is telling us it's safe, even though it's not what we want.
Mm-hmm.
That's exactly. A huge aha when it comes to finances and that and relationship that's intertwined.
Yep.
Yep.
For sure.
So she's not saying it flippantly. She's not like, surprise, but, but yes. Yes. And we wonder how we end up where we are, how we mm-hmm. end up with someone who's just like our dad. And that's why. Cause yeah. you didn't know at the time. You didn't know what you didn't know.
I did not.
Yeah.
No. And, yeah, got married very young, and, you know, of course now looking back, it gave me the ability to start doing hair. You know, he was also very hardworking, you know, he had like 3 jobs at that time. So he was able to support us as long as I needed in order for me to get a cosmetology license. So I am very grateful to him for that and being able to provide that space. And so I very quickly became a cosmetologist and, you know, hairdresser, found a job, immediately
because in LA,
in Pasadena, I was working and living in Pasadena at the time. And I was also just very grateful for the opportunity I got there. You know, I had no experience whatsoever, but I knew that I could do it. Like there was no doubt. I was like, I know that I can work hard. And I remember telling the owner of the shop, telling her like, I will work harder than anybody else here. And like, I will prove it to you. And if I lie, if you see that that's not true, feel free to fire me.
Mm.
Like I knew that I could do it. And I could do it better than anybody else there. And I did. You know, in 5 years, I became a master stylist. I was managing her salon. It was a beautiful Aveda salon in Pasadena. And I did it. And the cost was really high. I worked 80, 90, 100 hours a week. I had no friends. My marriage was dissolving. We had no marriage, really. We had no relationship. I worked all day. He worked all day. We never saw each other. And he had a drinking problem. And so it was a very abusive relationship. So work was my safety.
And you're fiery. Like you don't take shit from people.
Nope.
You really don't. And you've softened
a lot
over the years. So, but you still don't. Like you call people out, you call them forward. I love that about you. Mm-hmm. I can imagine that you were not happy is what it sounds like. I don't want to put words in your mouth, but mm-hmm. what was creating that explosive relationship?
It was the separation, and it was the fact that both of us had all of our energy focused on money. Mm. We both just, the only important thing was like, we had to work hard and make money, and somehow that would fix everything.
Yeah.
Somehow. I don't know how, you know, and all of his energy went to making money. All my energy went to making money. And at some point we did, we had a good $20,000, $30,000 in the bank. We did.
We knew how to make money. Knowing what I know from all the conversations we had is that's something very common for people. That was common for you, that you knew how to make money mm-hmm. and save. But other than that, there's no, even when you go to hair school, there's no formal education on what to do with your money, no. how to save it, how to invest it.
Oh no.
Any of that. So you got really good at making money, really good at saving and spending money.
Spending money.
And then that power play was still present in your life.
Oh yeah. Mm-hmm. Definitely created that. And so we would make a ton of money and then we would find a way to blow all of it because we were working so much. We couldn't even enjoy life. And so anytime we had the opportunity to go do something, like we would take it and we would just spend all the money really quickly. And so that was our pattern. That was what we created. And it felt safe to me because that's what I knew. That's what I did. And he modeled that also. So it was very apparent why we attracted each other. Yep. You know, why it worked. It worked in a really weird, messed up way. It worked. However, there was no joy. There was no happiness. There was a lot of avoidance, a lot of abuse and trauma there. And eventually that abuse took over and, you know, I had to take a stand for myself and say no. And I knew that I was going to be okay. Because I had money and because I can make money and because I could work really hard. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, we ended up separating and I just dove headfirst into just work mm-hmm. as if I couldn't work anymore. I figured out how to work more. And then in doing that, I avoided a lot of the trauma that I was feeling from when I was young, from my family, from my mom, my dad, my sister, now my husband. And I got into a really deep depression and started drinking a lot, started doing drugs because that was where like I could escape. I didn't really have any escape. And funny enough, that's where I met you. Mm-hmm. I was right there.
In that time
where I was just the most lost I could think of.
That was my experience of you. So fast forward, this is now 2016. And I want to make sure we save time to talk about what we were talking about before the show. So Jen walks into this room and she's hot. She's pissed at the world. That was my experience of you. I'm sitting at the back table and everybody knew who you were from the moment that we started the training. You stood up and you were like, fuck you, fuck the world. Mm-hmm. And for years, there was a journey of you in self-discovery, working through finally. And here's the thing. It's not just you. At some point, we have to reconcile with ourselves. And I don't know if exactly this is what Sylvia said. Shout out to Sylvia. I love you. At some point, we're all going to have that dark night of the soul. We're going to have the bathroom floor moment where we have to reconcile with ourselves and our emotions and our lives. Mm-hmm. And that was a journey for you up, and you're still on that journey, but you dove right in.
Yep.
You dove right in and it was not pretty. For any of you who, and without going on that whole journey, because something that you shared before the show was so important that I think will take us through the end of the show and also mm-hmm. wrap this whole thing together.
Yep.
Oh, I forgot what I was going to say. It was going to be really good too.
You'll remember.
It was going to be so good. So
have any of you.
here's, if any of you want something new in your lives and financially, if you want something new in your life, you're going to have to take a look in the mirror and if you want transformation, if you want your life to look different, you have to be willing to go on the journey and invest in yourself. And for you, for the first 6 months or so, it was not a pretty process. It was Jen taking Jen's life on and fighting through the drugs, fighting through the financial turmoil, fighting through the past. And so thank you for leaning there in the conversation, because for our listeners too, it's not supposed to feel good. It's all that sugarcoating and all the numbing that we do and all the ways that we avoid through money, through work, through sex, through relationships that we hide. Mm-hmm. And this was like a coming out party for you in so many ways. Mm-hmm. So over the course of the last 6 years, you've been on this journey.
Yep. Yep. When I met you, I very quickly knew that this was what I needed to do. And like you said, I dove in and I took it all in and I did everything that was offered. All the classes I can find, you know, coaching with you, using all of my resources. And it was really ugly there. I'm not going to lie. It didn't get better at first. It was really hard. It was painful. However, I knew that the only way out was through. Mm. I knew that that's what needed to happen. And I allowed myself to really experience the pain of everything that I went through. And it wasn't until years later that, you know, and this is all saying that when, you know, I ended up finding my now husband at that time, also had amazing friends, had this great support system around me, but that didn't take away what I needed to go through. But I had the support. I'd created that for myself and I used it to my full advantage. And so, you know, fast forward years later, I'm still doing the work. You know, I've found several other ways of doing it, and it has gotten easier, you know, because I haven't shied like from doing it, and because it's never going to go away. That story is never going to go away. However, now I can look at the story and say, thank you so much for the reminder. And I'm going to go do some amazing shit now. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much.
Yeah.
What's the story? You just came back from this abundance and prosperity training. I was like, oh my gosh, it's perfect timing. I didn't know that that was going to happen mm-hmm. leading up to the show.
Yep.
What's the story?
Really, the fundamental story is, one, I think we can all relate to the I'm not enough. I'm never going to be enough. It's never going to be enough. I will never have enough. I really discovered this last week that I had the story of being fundamentally broken and that I was meant to struggle. I was meant to struggle. I was meant to suffer. And that I realized this week that it wasn't mine to feel, you know, being Mexican, being of immigrant parents, being of this culture that was basically eradicated from this planet, this beautiful culture that was around for thousands of years that was just decimated. I didn't realize just how much trauma I was carrying that wasn't mine, that was generational, that was from my people. And I realized this last week that I'm not broken, that I don't have to struggle, that I don't have to suffer, and that I can make the change. I can be the change. I can create something new. I can be the example to others that doesn't have to be the truth for me. It doesn't have to be the truth for you. And it takes work. Not gonna lie, it takes work, it takes commitment, and it takes finding something bigger than yourself. It takes a vision, because when what is becomes more important than what could be, like, the game's over. Mm-hmm. And people think that you have to have this world-changing vision, you wanting an amazing relationship with your kids, you wanting an amazing relationship with your family, with your husband, you know, that is a game worth playing. That is something bigger than you. And so I invite you to do the work, you know, heal that trauma. And finances, man, they have such a hold on us. The relationship that we have with our money is so important, and it mirrors the relationship that we have with everybody else. Mm-hmm. It mirrors our relationships with our husbands, our wives, our kids, you know, and really discovering what that story is for you and breaking through that so that it doesn't have you anymore. And instead of having you, it serves you. Mm-hmm. That's where the magic happens. And that's where you can create abundance and prosperity and feel every day that you wake up creating something amazing and your bank account reflects it.
Yes.
Because it's both. It's not just one.
It's both. I promoted the show echoing Lynn Twist's conversation about money. If you don't know Lynn Twist, look her up. She wrote a book called The Soul of Money, and she does a lot of teaching and a lot of conversations. And her thought and belief is that scarcity comes from a perception of lack of resources. Hmm. It's not money. We make it about money, but it's resources. And that also the opposite of scarcity is not abundance. It's sufficiency. Mm. And as you have in your own life with Justin
gone through different stages and different phases of having money and having conversations, you are sufficient.
Mm-hmm.
You are enough. That's the aha. And then to create abundance, a life of abundance, what's next for you?
Well, like you said, I recently just retired because
she retired.
I retired. And
you're scared.
I'm scared of what's next. Yeah. I will say that. I'm terrified because I know that it's bigger than me. And I know I can do it. And that little, I call them the committee in my brain. The committee in my brain sometimes likes to sabotage.
It does.
And be like, are you sure? Can you really do it? I'm like, oh, shut the fuck up. Yes, I can do it. You know, don't remind me so often, you know. But no, I really, I have the resources. I have the support. I have the capacity. I can do it. But for the first time, I feel confident that what I created and what I have, like I'm not scared of paying the bills. I'm not scared of, you know, having a roof over my head because I have all that and it's not going anywhere. And before, I mean, having told you my story of really having everything ripped away from me, that is new for me going into this new chapter in my life. Yes, terrified of what's next in the best way possible, but not terrified because I don't have. I have everything I need and more. I have the support. I have a wonderful apartment. We're actually, I don't remember if I told you, Lisa, we're getting ready to buy a house at the end of this year.
Hey.
So
that's awesome.
Yeah. And so it's like, yes, I'm transitioning into something new. And the difference for me is that usually it's coming from a place of scarcity of like, I have to do something different because what I'm doing is not working. However, this time it's like, no, I get to do something different and fulfill this calling, this purpose that I feel because I've created a life of abundance. And because I've created this life of, I have what I need and what I want, and I can create what I need and what I want. And more than that, so it's coming from a place of peace, instead of coming from a place of fear and scarcity.
Power is different.
Yes.
This is a great way to transition. We've got a few minutes left to the show, which we know you'll be back. Cause this is,
I hope
this
so.
Is such a great conversation. It's so important you share your story though, because this is not the Jen that was born.
Mm-hmm.
This is not the family that you were born into, and that power, there was a power play that you learned that money was about power and money was about, what was the word that you used? Authority.
Mm-hmm.
To now, power is about creation,
mm-hmm.
and power is about love, mm-hmm. and power is about abundance. And where, what you were running from ultimately was your own power.
Absolutely.
And your misunderstanding of what power was in the first place. Cause that was you when I met you even 6 years ago, was that you were running from your God-given power.
Mm-hmm.
And now you're leaning into it,
mm-hmm.
and you're learning how to create from that power,
yep.
versus using power as a construct or yep. a play
exactly
to manipulate or control people.
Mm-hmm.
That is so profound, because you'll use money the same way moving forward.
Yes.
And that's not how you were taught.
Nope.
That's not what you believed. And to bring this back to the listener, that's the same for you. That is available to you. Was it easy for Jen? No. Jen continues to invest in herself.
Mm-hmm.
Jen continues to take classes and look at that itty bitty shitty committee that's in her head and learn how to silence it and break through generational trauma and feel the pain. Glenn Doyle says, first the pain, then the rising.
Mm-hmm.
And if you never, for yourself, if you never give yourself the opportunity to go on that journey and look at it, which is what we do in our world, is I teach people how to look at it. I taught you and Justin, just look at it.
Mm-hmm.
That's a new tool that you have. And then what, and what's next, and what's possible. And you're creating from that place. With 1 minute to go, what do you want to say to the listener?
Listeners, just keep going. Use all your resources and don't be afraid to look in. You know, a lot of the times we avoid looking at what's real, and we avoid being honest with ourselves. And that's just the biggest gift that you can give yourself, is just be honest, because it's not good, bad, right, or wrong. It just is. And when you can accept what is, the possibilities are endless. And so, yeah, I invite you to do that and to reach out to Lisa in supporting you and your financial health.
I didn't tee her up for that, but you can if you want.
Yeah. reach out to her resources because she has plenty. And yeah. Oh, I pulled a card today, which is actually completely fitting. It says, I am safe. It's only change. I cross all bridges with joy and ease. The old unfolds into wonderful new experiences. My life gets better all the time. And for the first time ever, I can truly say that that is absolutely true. So thank you for having me today.
Yeah. Thanks for being here as we start crying. Perfect time to transition. Thanks for being my guest today, Jennifer Butler. Where can we find you?
I mean, I will give you my phone number. That is the best, easiest way you can find me. 702-475-6358.
Find us, text us, email us, share this episode out with someone that you love that will be inspired by Jen today. Thank you for following us and joining us on Real Money. We will be back next week with a new guest, new conversation. And to all of my listeners, thank you for listening here on Real Money.
Thank you for listening to Real Money with Lisa Chastain on the Voice America Business Channel. Miss the opportunity to call in but have a question for Lisa regarding one of today's topics? You can send an email to Lisa at lisachastain.com. We will see you next time.